Digital 410 proudly presents the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast with your hosts, Don Abernathy, Jeff Copsetta, and Henry Sledge.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, your favorite World War II-based podcast. And happy Halloween, kind of early, for those of you who live in states that actually celebrate Halloween on Halloween. I always found it was a little weird. I lived in neighborhoods that always celebrated on the closest weekend before or after, depending on how the days worked out, which wasn't as fun to actually have Halloween on real Halloween. But welcome back, Jeff. Happy Halloween-ish.
I know. I've been gone so long, and I have so much to fill everybody in on. Hey, I'm excited.
You made it back before Thanksgiving, so that's all we can ask for. How about you in your area of Texas? Do you guys celebrate trick-or-treat on Halloween, or do they kind of move it to the nearest weekend?
So, no, it's going to be celebrated on the 31st, which is for us right here now on the tomorrow. And, you know, I got to be honest. Even as a kid, I don't ever remember Halloween on a Saturday. It seemed like it was always a school day, and you didn't want to be there, and you couldn't wait to get home.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm misthinking it. I do remember a lot of it after school, but for some reason, it was during the week, but I remember a lot of times it didn't seem like it actually fell on Halloween. I don't know. My memory, what it once was. Maybe I'm getting confused with Cabbage Night. Did you guys have Cabbage Night out there? Devil's Night, Hell's Night. That was the night, the unofficial, unsponsored, but kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, when all the high school kids would go out toilet papering and vandalizing the neighborhood all, you know, until the eggs come out and destroy people's clear coat on their cars. But before the eggs come out, it's just all good fun. But, you know.
Yeah. I think we called it Mischief Night.
Mischief
maybe?
Night. In Kentucky, I guess they called it Cabbage Night because maybe back in the day it had to do with, like, you know, lobbing people's vegetables and different farm products out of their farms. I don't know why they called it Cabbage Night, but growing up in Northern Kentucky, it was called Cabbage Night. But I had moved to Ohio by the time I was old enough to participate in such activities.
Maybe that'll be our homework. We'll look up the history of Cabbage Night, see where that takes us.
I bet the pandemic has killed TPing for teenagers due to living through the experience of not having it, plus the fact that a pack of toilet paper costs your parents about $22 now. The idea of going out and just wasting it on somebody's house is probably days of yore.
Well, it wasn't so much the toilet paper in my neck of the woods you had to worry about. It was the Ziploc bag of dog crap that would be caught on fire on your doorstep. And so people would probably put the fire out real quick, and then it's everywhere.
Yeah, but it's a four-liner fire. Put it in the brown paper bag. He called the shit poop. Yeah, Billy Madison, good times. Yep. You guys toilet papered people's houses? That's baby toys. Back in my day. Look at that mug, ladies and gentlemen. It matches my hat. It matches my hat. We haven't talked about the hat in a while. You can get yourself a WTSP World War II hat on our website, along with Jeff's beloved indestructible coffee mug. It's solid enough that if you can't get to your firearm during a home invasion, you can probably fend off at least one perpetrator with it and then jab the other one in the eye with the handle.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, I carry this everywhere. It's been through the dishwasher, probably not as many times as it should. Just a quick rinse, and it's up on the counter, you know. But it looks great.
I inadvertently discovered the perfect solution to getting coffee stains out of coffee mugs.
All right.
So it's a little weird, but if anybody who does any sort of endurance exercises, whether it's riding bikes long distances, running marathons, what have you, as you get older, you look for ways to help preserve your joints and your ligaments. And you can go to GNC and spend a metric ton on joint powders. But little known fact, and I learned this from Vinny Tortorich, if you get Knox baking gelatin, it has no sugar, no additives. It's just 100% gelatin, which is, as everybody knows, made up of hooves and connective materials, so that when you put it in your hot coffee, it doesn't turn into jello if you drink it quick enough. And then when you're consuming it, you're getting all that connective tissue and all the, I forget the technical term for it. Anyhow, it'll come to me. It's supposed to help with your skin. It helps maintain your joints, your ligaments, and all that because of all the connective tissues it's made up of.
Are you talking about collagen?
Collagen, exactly. So Knox gelatin, which is a bacon gelatin that has no sugar, no flavor, no coloring, is 100% collagen. And so putting that in your coffee, it changes no flavor, but as one might assume, you got to drink your coffee while it's still hot. However, I discovered after I came to work the next day and I went and dumped the Jell-O slick out of the bottom of my coffee mug, my mug had never been cleaner. It takes the coffee stains out with it. So just letting that Jock's gelatin congeal into the Jell-O and then just plopping it out and wash my coffee mugs look brand new. So I get the added bonuses of trying to repair my knees, keep my skin looking so young, and clean coffee mugs all in one shot. So there you go.
And now you know
the rest of the story. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper than the stuff you get GNC. So what's going on in the wonderful state of Texas, fella?
Well, apparently winter was on a Monday here in the Hill Country, and that Monday was today. We've all been complaining. When is it going to stop? When is the weather going to break? When is it going to feel like it's football weather? The pumpkin's going to stop melting. And then it happened today, and we got what we've been wanting. I think last night the wind chill was 28.
Ooh.
Low 30s, highs in the 40s. We got 3 inches of rain this week, which is what we kind of really needed. But we'll be back in the 70s by the weekend. It's the Hill Country. If you don't like the weather, stick around. It'll change kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I live in Florida. We had our winter last week when it got down to 69 every night, and I could turn my AC off and open my windows and air out my house. And the water temperature got down to a cool 77 degrees. Believe it or not, bass do not like to bite when the water's 92 and a foot and a half deep. So we've been getting some rain. The water temperature's down to 77, and it's about 5 feet deep, but still striking out in that case. So happy winter to you. Now you actually get to put on your boots and break out an M41 jacket, and now your flannel line peaky hat doesn't make you sweat your ass off when you're wearing it in the hot summer. Is that one lined? Does that one have the quilt lining in it?
No lining in this one.
Both mine have the quilt lining, and whew, it's a little warm.
Yeah.
But hey, that's the way it is. So give us the rundown, fella.
Yeah, man. So I guess I'm going to start with getting to finally meet Scott Gibson. What a highlight. What a way to start off our October. I got invited by him to the Wish for Our Heroes Gala here in San Antonio. Wish for Our Heroes is an organization started by veterans that helps other charities, helps other veterans. They go to Normandy every year, and Scott is kind of one of their celebrities that, you know, kind of helps bring the traffic in and spread the word. And yeah, we finally got to go down to this gala, and he was definitely not the only celebrity there, which was really cool. If you remember, got to take a quick picture with Scott and the one and only Kyle Chandler. Didn't expect to see the Chandler family there, so that was a really cool surprise. And then Dave Bautista, if you're familiar with him, we watched him come right through the venue on a custom painted Harley Davidson Cafe Racer that they were auctioning off.
That's a weird combination. Harley Davidsons and choppers, Harley Davidsons raked out, stretched out, Harley Davidson bobbers. All perfectly fine things we've seen all through the 2000s on any episodes of any show on the Discovery Channel. They had some sort of Harley Davidson, but a Harley Davidson Cafe Racer, that's an interesting, because that's usually saved for a Triumph or an old BSA or an old Indian. But to see a Harley chopped down into a Cafe Racer, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, custom painted. The distillery, the local distillery there, that's one of the big sponsors, Devil's River. It had the Devil's River painted all on the, you know, the gas tank, and I think on the rear fender, and you know, it was really slick, really slick motorcycle. And of course, what an entrance by him. And then for the basketball fans that are listening, George Hill was there. It was a longtime San Antonio Spur that's been also a longtime partner with Wish for Our Heroes. Was really awesome to see his generosity, you know, firsthand. I want to say he blew about $100,000 that night between the donations for the tables for his families and the auction items. And he ended up with the Harley and
That's awesome.
Drove off, you know, so it was just really, really special. And I think probably the for us, for my wife and I, the coolest part of the night, seeing Scott up there, you know, on stage before we really got to talk with him. We kind of met him as we came in, and then we were getting dinner, and then everybody goes everywhere, you know. He just got tired of being on stage, I guess, and just started walking off and came down and sat at our table and was like, "What's up, man? Let's talk and hang out. And glad you could be here." And it was really, really special. So got linked up with him, and he wanted to introduce me to one of the World War II vets that was there that's Sweet. Been to Normandy every year. And so I kind of went off with him, and I was over there for 15, 20 minutes. That's when Kyle Chandler came over and all these other folks. And then I realized I left my wife at this table
with
like 10 other strangers. Like, oops. So I go back over there to the table. I was like, "Babe, get your purse. Let's go hang out over here." Well, there was another couple. There was a few couples at the table, but there was one couple that kind of caught my attention. And the lady said, "Hey, is there any way, it looks like you know Scott, like, is there any way you could introduce us?" And I said, "Sure, absolutely." And another girl at the table was an artist, and two of her paintings were some of the auction items that were up on the stage. Beautiful.
Hell yeah.
Really an interesting way that she did it. She did the flag raising at Iwo Jima, and one of the famous photographs of the guys coming out hitting Omaha Beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she did them as they were black and white. Just a splash of color on the American flag on the Iwo photo, just a splash of color on Omaha Beach, but they looked like black and white photographs.
Yeah.
It was awesome the way she did the gray tones. Really, really cool. So also she was a huge Scott Gibson fan. So she said, "I'd love to meet him." I said, "Look right now." But a couple actually led to event this weekend. The first couple we got to with a whole lot, and they got to meet Scott and take their pictures. And it finds come to find out the guy was an F-15 Eagle pilot.
Nice.
Never met an F-15 pilot before. And of course, Tammy gets all nuts. She goes, "Oh my gosh, that's so awesome." You know, and she's like, "What was it like?" And he just kind of very humbly said, "Well, it was not boring." Right? So hit it off with them. Had an amazing night. You know, I guess just being there and being on a guest list only type event, and to see it growing, to be a part of it. No, I'm going to be on every year. We're going to bring a guest next year. You know, to keep the word out, help this organization, because it's just Absolutely. It's unbelievable the amount of veterans that they've helped over the years. So, then fast forward to this past weekend. Our fall program at the Highland Lakes Air Museum. I think the listeners have kind of figured out I'm no longer running the museum, but I'm still involved, still helping with programs. And this is our third year doing a program that we call Pumpkins and Paratroopers. So we have our local grocery store donate 100 pumpkins, and we have the All Airborne Battalion jump team came out, four paratroopers. We had our C-47 rolled out of the hangar, 40 music playing.
And they passed over and they dropped pumpkins, much like the episode of WKRP in Cincinnati with the helicopter and the turkeys. All over the parking lot, windshields are breaking, kids are ducking, diving, rolling, hiding under Jeeps, hiding under tanks. It's a catastrophe, but they love it. You've never seen life until you've seen a pumpkin drop from 14,000 feet, smack dab, and they hit the target every time. It's amazing.
I wish. So, no, of course, the pumpkins were there for the kids to paint. We had paints and paintbrushes there for them, and they got to hang out tables right in front of the aircraft, the SNJ, the L-17 Navion, of course, and the C-47. My brother, DeLorean, of course, that's always a big hit for folks when they came in. And just a great day, just a free event for people. And I don't know, the numbers are hitting anywhere between 800. We may have actually hit 1,000 folks come through that day, and that's a big deal for our small little town. Just to have people come hang out, and so I set up my Air Corps display, brought the Jeep in, and of course I invited our new friends, the F-15 pilot, and he was a huge hit. Anti-G suit, some pictures of him from, you know, his flying days, and then the coolest thing was he brought in his helmet, you know, with his call sign on it and everything, and the oxygen mask, and all these kids just sat down on a chair with a little seat parachute,
nice,
put this helmet on, took a picture, and then he slams down the big black visor in front, and, you know, oxygen mask there, just really cool picture for everybody. Every kid walked away feeling like they were just, you know, in a Top Gun picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of fun there. And
I would have personally rather done an Iron Eagle shoot, but that's just me.
we talked about that. I said, look, I know from your perspective, but as a kid, man, Iron Eagle was a great film. He started laughing. He goes, dude, you know what? He's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, super hokey, good film. He said, it bothers me. And I never thought about this. And Don, maybe you can help think of something.
That he can't get a tape deck to strap to his leg to put on some Twisted Sister to get to his destination on 15 minutes quicker. Because as we know, afterburners work better when you have Twisted Sister running in the background. It's just science, Jeff.
Right.
Pure science. Jet propulsion science.
He brought up a good point. He said the Army, the Navy, he's like, they got great movies. He's like, the Air Force, what do we have? And I said, well, Iron Eagle. And he goes, exactly. So I was thinking,
Is Airwolf Air Force or is that Special Ops? It's a helicopter, but I can't remember if he was an Army Special Ops or if he was an Air Force.
Ah, good point. That converts into the
TV show.
The Green Berets and the A-Team, like, no. And those guys expended a million rounds every episode, never hit nothing.
Let me propose this. If we went back and watched Iron Eagle and then compared it to, like, any Chuck Norris Vietnam prisoner of war movie, I bet you those Chuck Norris movies don't hold up as well as they did when we were 10.
Not at all. No, not at all. I mean, like I said, it was a great film, but has there been a lot of great Air Force? You know, we're not talking Army Air Corps, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking Memphis Belle and you know, Tuskegee Airmen, but
since
1947, what has there been? And I told him, I said, honestly, I think the Air Force has missed it. If they would make a Top Gun type movie, but with A-10 pilots, you know, history of the Warthogs, I think that would really be something. But yeah, other than that, I don't know.
Well, this is interesting. Google considers The Right Stuff an Air Force movie.
Huh.
I guess because NASA was really not quite there yet, and they were all Air Force pilots, but most of them were World War II vets that were Army Air Corps and then transitioned.
Right.
But number one on their list, but you can't guess. Iron Eagle. So in order of thumbnails, I just typed in 1980s Air Force movies just because, and we can include 90s, but Iron Eagle's first, The Right Stuff, Top Gun. So that's going to be your winner, really. And Officer and Gentleman, I really wouldn't. That's more of a Navy movie, isn't it?
Well, so's Top Gun.
Not true that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, true that. Delta Force, once again, I don't airplane, but that's commercial flight. Firefox, who was in that?
Oh, that was Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood. Let's see here. Mitchell Gant, Clint Eastwood, is a veteran American pilot who becomes involved in a top secret mission to steal high-tech Russian fighter plane known as the Firefox.
Yeah.
Covertly entering Soviet Union back in the day when Russia was our enemy in every movie. Gant receives help from descendants within the country, most notably a group of scientists who have been working on the plane, yada, yada, yada. I wonder what that got on Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh, okay, that's a fun game. What do you think Firefox, not the web browser, but the movie, got on Rotten Tomatoes?
Ah, that couldn't be much more than like 6.68.
Like 6.8 or 68%?
Oh, I was 68.
You're high, way high. It's almost dead even. The top critics gave it a 41% at Rotten, and the audience gave it a 42%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not big fans of the Firefox. Now, if that's their leading